want to, if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 with me tonight.
And no, I did not lose a bet. I told somebody you might think that, and I was kidding with Mike, and I said I did lose one. I lost a bet on the Georgia-Clemson game, and I know Clemson's going to lose, so I went ahead and shaved it anyway. But nevertheless, I just wanted to do it just because I wanted to, and I never will forget the first time I did it with Caroline. I guess it was probably 3 years ago. Caroline, she's 8, so maybe she was 5 years old at that time when I came out from shaving, and she looked at me like, "What just happened to you?" And I'll never forget what she said. It's like, it was just first thing that came to her mind. She said, "Go put it back on." I said, we got so tickled at that. I said, "I can't, honey. It's gone. It is gone. And go put that thing back on, Daddy. Quit playing with us." But Chloe, she was a little bit more contemplative there with when she saw me, and she's like, she said, I guess hers is just as classic. She said, "Dad, you look weird." I was like, "Yeah, that pretty much sums it up." Oh goodness, gotta love those kids. They'll say anything. But nevertheless, if you're joining me tonight in Luke chapter 4, just want to spend a few moments on the importance of identifying temptation in our lives. And we see in the scriptures very clearly, there are three main ways that we, even as God's children, are tempted daily in some way. And I want to look at those and just briefly tonight, because I really want us to always be on guard against the tempter. And God is helping us, but we're going to look at this, and then we'll also look at a few other portions of Scripture. But begin with me there at Luke chapter 4. We see the temptation of our Lord, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. This is where his ministry is beginning. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil. And sometimes some people get the idea that Jesus was tempted at the end of his 40 days. But according to the passage of Scripture here, it was during the 40 days. There was intense battle going on for many days. And it wasn't just at the end. And there was spiritual warfare taking place. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written." And you ought to underline that in your Bible if you hadn't already, because it is so important to understand how Jesus handled temptation from Satan. He handled it with the Word of God. Just underline, "It is written." This is how we fight temptation. He says, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written," there it is again, "for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee." Now listen, before you underline that one, you better understand that the enemy tried to turn around and use God's word, but get it, he twisted it. There is a a strategy of Satan that he will use God's word, but he will twist it. And he will try to use it to deceive. But notice he said, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now notice Jesus' response. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Now, I'd encourage you to underline that "for a season." Okay, that's speaking of Satan's not done. He comes and goes, his intensity and his attack. In verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. I just want to preach a message to you tonight, being aware of temptation and being ready for it. Being aware of temptation and being ready for it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to look at your word. And Spirit of God, we certainly rest in your power tonight to do the teaching. And I'm sure I'm teaching things that, Lord, there's just, these are not new truths, but Lord, I do realize that they are truths that are so very real in our lives every day. And I pray that we would be mindful of where the enemy may be trying to tempt us, and even where we may be drawn away with the lures of the world and the lust of our own flesh. So help us now as we commit ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, I do pray all of these things. Amen. I know we got some fishermen here tonight and that love that. I know specifically Brother Greg, he's quite the fisherman. And I've seen Greg's tackle box, and I'll tell you, Greg's got some great lures. He's got worms, lures. There's no telling. Brother, you got a great stock there, Brother Greg. Greg said, "Ain't been working," and you know that is well. I'll tell you one thing. You know, just like a fisherman's going to have a lot of lures, and he's going to have different ways to try to lure those fish and to try to bait the fish to get them to grab on, so he can hook them and bring them in. Maybe that big one, you know. But with all honesty, you know, Satan is trying to bait us all of the time. He's trying to lure us in some way to hook us and to harm us and hurt us. And we need to be on guard about that. And you know, Greg mentioned and he said, well, they hadn't been working. You know, I like that statement, Greg, not that you're not catching fish, but I like that statement. I hope that we can testify that Satan hadn't been catching us. He's been trying. He puts them out there. He throws them out there. He's tried real hard, but through God's Spirit and the Word of God, we're avoiding that bait and that trick, that deception that he seeks to put out before us. And he was tempting our Lord here. And we need to understand, you know, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Well, what he's talking about is that he was tempted from his human standpoint, because Jesus was 100% man. He was 100% God. And we know that God cannot be tempted. We know that from the book of James, don't we? But his human side was weak in the sense of our weaknesses, had vulnerability. He was not able to sin because he was 100% God as well. But however, he was able to sense those points. He was able to sense them from his human perspective, and he knows the points. And from what we gather in Scripture, now there are many other avenues of temptation, but they all strain from three major points of temptation. And we see they were used against Jesus from Satan here in our passage. It began with Adam. And if I were to take you back to Genesis chapter 3, the first six verses, it gives the account of the serpent who beguiled, he tricked, he deceived, he was more subtle than any other creature. He tricked them, Eve, and he used those same three points. Okay? It was the lust of the flesh. These are all repeated from the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. So you have the lust of the flesh. That's where he got, you know, Eve to look upon the fruit there. It was, and then it was the lust of the eyes. Okay? It was appealing to the eyes to have that. And then thirdly, it was a temptation of the pride of life. You shall be like God. You shall know good and evil. So there was these three main areas where he got Adam. And listen, it worked excellently with Adam and Eve. It worked. And he's been using those same three for all these ages. They have not changed. They have remained the same. And so we, as God's people, have to constantly be on guard on these areas. And so Satan uses that. The demonic forces use that against us constantly through the ages. It has not changed. And of course, we see it here working with, not working, but trying to work against Jesus. But then we even get over there in our passage in the book of James, and he also gives the definition of those three categories. He calls them sensual. Then there's one that's devilish, and I'm trying to think of the other. It's not coming to me right now. But basically, gave those same three categories of those three main points where he draws us. So according to Leander Kaiser, he quoted the three avenues of temptation. And J. Oswald Sanders quoted this Leander Kaiser in his book on the person of Christ, and basically divided them up just like I have mentioned. But he gave them these titles. Number one, Satan tries to get us through our appetite. Our appetite. Now, again, appetite is of God, right? If you got a good appetite, that's a blessing from the Lord. That's a gift from the Lord. But the context of this appetite is to the desire to enjoy things that are prohibited. And this is what he tried to do with Jesus, right? He knew Jesus was hungry. So he's going to attack this aspect of appetite, which again, this is the lust of the flesh. This deals with our physical appetites. This can go in various categories, all right? Whether it's food, drink, sex, I mean, you just name it. The physical appetites of the human body, this is where it would be in that area when it comes to this type of temptation, our passions. And so that is where we have to realize, you know what? How do we combat this idea of when we are tempted in this area? Well, I'm going to share with you here in just a moment. Secondly, he dealt with ambition. This is the ambition. This is the desire to achieve things. This is where he tempted the Lord Jesus to try to, again, hey, you can have all the kingdoms, okay? And not only can you have all the kingdoms, but you could cast yourself from the temple and prove yourself to be popular and well-known. And really, when it came down to it, in all of these examples, it was an attempt of Satan to get Jesus to avoid the cross. And that these try to take the shortcut. And of course, Jesus knew that that was not even in the question, because as I'll mention here in a minute, as we combat temptation, that did not happen. But it's the desire to achieve things. I think, for instance, that can come down to the point of the pride of life. Okay. And wanting to be somebody other than just seeking to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted Jesus to show his glory and prove his glory. But Jesus, it wasn't the time. He wasn't there to glorify himself. He was there to glorify the Father. And so there's this idea of being. And that's maybe in the idea of ambition of always seeking to be right. You know, we find ourselves, well, I'm right. And I know it. And you'll find out when we get to heaven. Little things like that. It does come in that way. But then there's a third one here that we see that has to do with the idea of desiring to obtain things. That's the lust of the eyes. This is where we get the idea of greed. It's our possessions. And again, nothing wrong with having a healthy appetite. Nothing wrong with having a healthy ambition to desire to be, to achieve things. Those things are okay, but here's the problem. And then when it comes down to obtaining things, which he gave the word here, avarice, that carries the idea of just having a passion to obtain things. Materialism. It's the lust of the eyes. It has to do with our possessions. You got to have one more of that. You got to have the biggest of that. And, you know, we deal with that a lot in our American culture, right? And so he tried to, of course, to get Jesus to do that when he mentioned the kingdoms. They can be yours right now. And so everybody here is tempted in those areas probably every day in some way. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to realize that God has given us weapons to fight. Let me share these with you very quickly. Number one, understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not earthly weapons. It's not guns. It's not ammo. It's not money. It's not all these things that are material that we fight with. They're not fleshly, earthly. It's spiritual. And that is, we fight it understanding, number one, understanding our purpose in life. That's spiritual. You are a new creature in Christ. Okay? You are now a being who has the Holy Spirit living in you. And you've been set apart. And that's one of the things that we need to know immediately in fighting temptation is that, look, when it comes to temptation now, what used to not be a temptation to me, I did it anyway. When I was lost, I mean, hey, who cares? This is what I want to do. Feels good, I'm going to do it. You know, I mean, if I hurt somebody in the process, maybe there would be some guilt there or shame or whatever. But when I got saved and when you got saved, we know, we understand we've been set apart. That's not who we are anymore. So number one, there's a being set apart. Number two, there's a simple truth of being submitted. See, Jesus knew he had been set apart for the purpose of coming to this earth to die on the cross for our sins as the perfect Lamb of God. But then he also submitted himself to the plan of the Father. And one of the areas that we can decide now to help avoid temptation is submitting our hearts to the Lord and saying, God, as much as I may want to do this, your will is more important to me. Your will is more important to me. You remember we've been talking about in Romans 14 and 15 on Sunday nights about how to consider our brother not to be a stumbling block and not to be neither his judge. It goes from both perspectives. But do you remember we just read last week about how the Lord Jesus in Romans 13 carried the idea of He suffered the reproaches of man because he had been sent on a mission, not because he was guilty of it, not because he was deserving of it. He set aside his right, if you will, to suffer so that we could be benefited with salvation. Okay? That's what the Lord Jesus did because he knew his submission was out of love for the Father. And I think that one of the things when it comes to submission, a lot of times we take submission the wrong way. We take submission as we are we are just simply robots and we have to just cower or whatnot. But no, the submission for God's children is out of love. I submit and you submit to the Lord out of love for Him, the same way Jesus did. It's setting aside the things that we could have access to, perhaps, things we could do to satisfy ourselves, but we're not here to do that. We're here to submit our hearts to the Lord. But then thirdly, there's the way we fight temptation is being Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. That's just having the power of God on us. That's keeping sin confessed. That's being yielded to the Holy Spirit. I heard a illustration one time. It said that, and the idea of temptation, and I probably won't tell it exactly right, but it was the idea of, remember, the Holy Spirit's living in you and me, if you're a believer, right? He said, when temptation, just pretend temptation's coming to the door of your house, your body is the house of the Holy Spirit, okay? Well, when temptation comes knocking on the door, let the Holy Spirit answer the door. Let the Holy Spirit answer the door. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, you know, my kids, man, you ought to see my kids. I did not think my kids could run so fast until that doorbell rings. You would think that, what's the dude that used to hand out the lottery or the Ed McMahon, what was his name? Ed McMahon, remember the checks? Man, you'd think the kids were just getting ready to win $1 million and that doorbell rings. Man, they all flock to that door. And I'm like, kids, please. They're all heads up there, man. They're just ready to, they're just excited about somebody coming to the house, I guess. You think we've never had visitors before. Hint, hint, y'all need to come visit us, all right? But with all seriousness, they'd like to come to that door. But when it comes to temptation, we need to, as God's people, we need to get in the habit of letting the Holy Spirit answer the door and say, Brinson is not coming out to play with you. Now, if there were some kids, and I don't know of any, but if there were some kids in my neighborhood that I knew were up to no good, and the way things they were maybe going to be teaching my kids or going to be influencing them on purpose, I'd answer that door and I'm saying, they're not coming out. They don't have my permission to come out and play. And folks, we got to let the Holy Spirit answer that door and say, huh, when it comes to the pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, those passions that are perhaps legitimate, but the temptation is to fulfill them in an illegitimate way that dishonors God. It's not his will for them to be done because they're being done selfishly instead of for God's glory. And so we let the Holy Spirit answer the door, and that comes with being filled with the Spirit. And when we do answer the door and say, yes, I'll come and play, and we give in to that sin, and we go give in to that temptation, then we quickly confess. We quickly confess. And get restored. And again, let the Holy Spirit have His way. But then fourthly here, again, if you're writing these down, we're set apart for a purpose, God's purpose. We're submitted to the will of God out of a heart of love because we're submitted to His plan. Thirdly, we're Spirit-filled. But then fourthly, we are Scripture-led. Jesus fought temptation with the Word of God. That's what we got to do. What is it that you struggle with this evening? What is it? I mean, what section of that, those three major points, maybe it's all three, but then even branch off because each of these three have a web of just categories that branch off of these. And what is there some obsession in your life? It's all about just making money, more and more money, or ambition of having a certain whatever, and that's what consumes you. What is it that consumes you? How about we be consumed with the will of God? Let's be consumed with the glory of God. Let's be consumed with the plan of God. That's what we need to be consumed with. But if we're consumed with other things, what we need to find is scripture that deals with that. Maybe it's resentment, anger, bitterness, lust, jealousy, worry, anxiety. It really is. I mean, what category does worry fall under? Well, I personally think it falls under the pride of life. And this is why I think that. Now, I think it probably could go an appetite one, whatnot. But the reason I think that is because people that worry, when we worry, we are trying to be sovereign. What is sovereign? Sovereign is in control. We say God is sovereign. What are we saying? God is what? He's in control. He's totally and absolutely in control. So when we are worrying, anxious, we are upset in our spirit that we don't have full control of the situation, the circumstances around us. We can't control this person, that circumstance, and it's a form of pride. And God hates pride. And we got to say, God, I don't want to worry because that's pride. I'm not sovereign. You are. And you're going to lead. You're going to guide. You're going to provide. You're going to help. You're going to empower. You are God. And I'm not. And that's humility. But we fight. Find those verses that deal with that specific sin and get numerous of them. Multiple verses, you know what yours is and I know what mine is, and that's where we can go to the Word of God and read over those things. Quote Scripture. You say, is there power in quoting Scripture? Jesus did. He's Jesus, He's God, and He still quoted Scripture to defeat the enemy in that case. And it is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. God helps us. And that's why I think it's not just memorizing the Word of God, but then it's like you being here on a Wednesday night hearing the Word of God. I'm so glad you're here tonight, but in my heart, I'm just like, oh, I just want every brother and sister in Crooked Creek to be reminded of these truths, because it's so real. And when we hear the Word of God preached and hear the Word of God taught, it helps us to fight temptation, because there's power in the Word. So I appreciate you just letting the Lord lead you and being here tonight. But then, and the last point is this: fighting temptation, praise God, God's people fight temptation by being satisfied. You know, the devil could not get Satan with all the things that he was offering. And he was offering Jesus some pretty amazing things: the kingdoms of the world, the glory that he had, supposedly. He was offering that, but listen, you think about this very truth, is that the devil could not tempt Jesus because, in this way, to get Jesus to come, because you know what? Jesus was totally and absolutely and perfectly satisfied with God, with the Father. His communion with the Father was enough. He was satisfied with the Lord. And may God help us to get to a place where the only thing that really, truly satisfies in life is our communion with the Lord, and letting everything else flow from that, right? I read a quote just recently. It was a real encouragement. It says, we do not... Our success is not based upon things that we achieve. It's not on achievement. Our success is in abiding in the Lord. It's not an achievement. Because you know what? Achievement comes and goes, right? Some days we're like, woo, man. Praise the Lord. That was a great day. We had saw some achievements that we made. But then the next day, it's like, oh, God, help me. what in the world is going on? And if we are up and down, but you know, thank God that really the discipline that we desire as God's people is to let our satisfaction, our success, if you will, be in just abiding in Him. Abiding in Christ and letting fruit come from that. And there may be some areas in our life that, yes, we fell at, but let's make our abiding in Him and we will succeed. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but here's an exhortation. Did you know the devil can tempt you, but did you know that you can also tempt the devil? It's very simple. Be prideful. Gives the devil space to work. If you tempt him, well, we go around, because there's some people say, you know, there's these theologies that you reach a certain point of sanctification where you're just no longer tempted. Or you say, I'm never going to do that again, or I don't struggle with that anymore, and I never will. And boy, you get filled, God's people can get filled with pride, and boy, you get a target on you real quick. Don't play around with that. You stay humble. I stay humble, saying, oh God, if it's not for your grace, I'm going to be right back into whatever, with whoever, whenever, however. Listen, we have got to stay on guard. I know of way too many situations of believers who have let their guard down. Little by little, inch by inch, they let their guard down, and it did not end well. And whether that's marriages ending, whether that's totally abandoning their faith to the world, I know missionaries that I admired and looked up to that I heard preach who now are just living fully to the world. They're off the field. They're not living for God. What happened? Well, they eventually started giving in to these three main areas. And they got away from God. And I just want to encourage you tonight, brothers and sisters, let's stay on guard. Let's be vigilant. Be satisfied with who God is. One of the areas that we need to grow in is understanding is that there's not a thing on this earth, I don't care how awesome it may appear to the eye or feel to the flesh, there's not a thing on this earth that can satisfy like Jesus Christ. But the devil has a way of tempting us to think otherwise. Well, if you just had that. I was just talking to Joanna about this recently and just encouraging each other. But we were just both talking about how it's really interesting how the devil is an expert of convincing you that you could always be better off. If you would just do this, or if you didn't have that, or fill in the blank. And we got to be on guard against that. Like, no. My God shall supply all my needs. According to what? His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. His riches. Unlimited. God. is able to satisfy our every need. So understand, brethren, that temptation comes anytime, it comes any place, and it comes at any point. So let's be vigilant, as Peter tells us, for our adversary is walking about seeking whom he might devour. And I hope tonight that these words were a bit of encouragement to you as we fight against the temptations that we face every single day. Let's pray. Lord, I trust you to take your word tonight. I do know. We all needed this message. I know I did. And I just pray that we would submit to it. Father, there's one thing I feel like I'm learning a lot about being saved. The more years I'm saved, the more I realize, Father, that Satan's attacks come in waves. Sometimes they just feel so overwhelming. But I pray that tonight your people would put on the whole armor of God and help us to know that armor, Lord. That's you, Lord Jesus. Help us to hold up that shield of faith whereby we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And help us not to stop praying and seeking your face and reading the word, hearing the word. Oh God, please, may it never get old. May it only just get more and more attractive, those spiritual weapons that you have blessed us with. I pray you'd set people free tonight. I pray that you'd give renewed endeavors as we commit to live the Christ life. All for your glory, oh God. I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.